Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis 21. In verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Sarah received something that was utterly impossible. Here's this 90-year-old woman who's having a kid. I'm not sure that's ever happened since. Maybe prior to the flood when people used to live 900 years, okay, 90-year-old woman might have had a kid. But not after the flood. Here's this 90-year-old woman. She had a child. It was laughable even to think that this was possible. And it was possible. Not only was it possible, God made it happen. And she had a son at 90. And that made her laugh. And she said, everybody who's going to hear this is going to laugh with me. Joy is contagious. And Sarah found tremendous joy in what God did for her. Now, God desires to make us laugh. We don't always think that God is somebody who would be interested in humor or laughter. But that's extremely important to God. God desires to make us laugh. And He does it by fulfilling the promises and doing the impossible for us. She was so happy about it, it made her laugh. Now, that's not the first time she and Abraham laughed about this. Prior to that, it wasn't so good. In Genesis 17:15, God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, then in verse 16, I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now, picture this. He found that so ridiculously funny, he fell on his face with laughter. His own laughter knocked him off his feet. I mean, he was busting out inside splitting laughter. And it wasn't the good form of laughter. It's like he was reacting as though it was a good joke, but it was no joke. He's thinking to himself something to the effect of, Sarah, be a mom to nations. Maybe she could be a great grandmother to nations right now, but certainly she's not going to be a mother to anybody because she's 90 years old. What was happening there? He was walking by sight, and the sight interpretation of God's promise was so preposterous, it was laughable, and it was hysterical to him. In Genesis 18:12, Sarah had a similar response when God repeated it to them. Again, she had a similar response. She was in her tent, and Sarah laughed within herself. And then in verse 13, God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why is she laughing at this? This isn't funny. This is a promise. Why is she laughing at this? The promise's fulfillment will make you laugh. The promise itself, take it seriously. God's desire is to make us laugh. It's a big thing with God. God's desire is to make us laugh. So let God make you laugh. Laughter is a sign, one of the expressions of spirituality. Sometimes people who are religious in their mindset have a very difficult time enjoying things. People who take themselves too seriously very rarely enjoy anything. But laughter is a mark of spirituality. Joy is the second manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. So laughter, a Christian should be laughing all the time. If I'm thinking with God, not only because things are so funny, and they are really funny, but if I'm thinking with God, then there's so much joy involved in everything. Why? Because I see in Ecclesiastes 3:11 from an eternal perspective, and the eternal perspective is a perspective of the finished work of Christ. I see the fulfillment of promises by faith, and then I experience the fulfillment of the promises as I enter it because of that faith. That's something that's extremely exciting. We're so used to looking at things by sight, we're so used to looking at things through our emotions that sometimes we miss the best part of things, which is the joy that is involved in a walk with God. Never think to yourself a walk with God is a difficult, arduous, no fun, dry, as dull, gotta do what you don't want to do kind of a thing. If that's how you think, and unfortunately there are people who think like that, but if that's how you think, you don't get it. You have no idea what this is all about. You're thinking incorrectly. You've got the wrong assumptions, the wrong presumptions, the wrong way of looking at things. You're not getting it at all. You're not understanding God in the least. God wants to make you laugh, so let Him make you laugh. God wants you to enjoy your life. Let Him bring it such that you will enjoy your life. Now, a lot of times you say to people, God wants you to enjoy your life, and they say, okay, that means I can get into sin. Now, how do you make that equation? The wages of sin is death. What about death do you actually enjoy? But that's how people are, right? Old sin nature, lust patterns, they get stupid. It's the weirdest mentality in the world, if you think about it, and yet it's a very common mentality. God wants to make you laugh by fulfilling His promises. God wants to make you laugh by giving you such great joy in a life with Him that it results in laughter. When Sarah received Isaac as her own son, she wasn't even able to have children. And God promised at 90 years old that she would have children. She wasn't able to have children at 20 years old. But she still had a son at 90 years old. That was such an amazing, joyful thing to her. She just busted out laughing and she said, everybody who hears is going to laugh with me. Well, yeah. Because it was exciting, it was joyous, it was edifying. There was nothing negative in that. There never is with God. There's nothing negative in a life with God. We may respond negatively because of poor thinking. But in itself, there's nothing negative in a life with God. It's a life of joy. It's a life of confident expectation. It's a life of promise. It's a life of purpose. It's a life of fulfillment. But nothing negative. But we think negatively because of our old sin nature, and so we project that onto God as though God was thinking something negative. God never thinks a negative thing toward you. Jeremiah 29:11. God never thinks a negative thing toward you. Even if you're in the midst of sin, God still does not think a negative thing toward you. The woman caught in adultery, He said, I don't condemn you, just don't do it anymore. Simple. God wasn't thinking a negative thing toward her. We do that. God does not. Never confuse human mindset, human emotions, human mentality with God's mindset, God's emotions, God's mentality. They are not the same. God's ways and thoughts are infinitely beyond our ways and thoughts, Isaiah 55:8. Do not confuse them as though they were our own. They are not. God is not a man. He doesn't think like a man. Luke 6:21 says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. The outcome of your circumstance in God's mind is always for it to become positive. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God's purpose in every circumstance is for that circumstance to be positive. Now, what that means is different for each circumstance and for each individual. But it's always something that's going to be for that person's sake, and it's always going to be something that it's going to conform them to the love of God. No matter what the circumstance, in Romans 5:5, the outcome is for you to get to know the love of God. That is an extremely positive outcome. Because the love of God is the nature of God. Once you get to know God, it's not like getting to know somebody else. It's life transforming. You'll never be the same once you've got to know God. Once you really get to know God, there'll never be a thing like anxiety. Once you really get to know God, there'll never be a thing like fear. Once you get to know God, there'll never be a thing like insecurity, mistrust, misgiving. Once you get to know God, there'll never be a thing like uncertainty. Getting to know God comes with tremendous confidence, tremendous expectation, tremendous fulfillment, tremendous purpose, and tremendous joy. The Word of God tells us in 1 John 4:16 that He is love. What do you think He's going to want for you? He is love. He's not an emotion. Like, human love is very variable. Human love changes it based on what you had for dinner. But not with God. His love toward you never changes. So what do you think He's going to want toward you? He's patient, He's kind, He doesn't think anything evil of you. He's not looking out for Himself in His relationship with you, He's looking out for you. He sacrificed Himself to look out for you. So let Him make you laugh, because He wants to bring in tremendous joy into your life. Don't ever say to yourself, well, I can't laugh, I have to be serious, and I have to be... No, laugh. Laugh. Don't be religious about it. Just laugh. Have a good time and laugh. No, it doesn't mean sin. But there's no pleasure. There's no joy in sin. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a few minutes, there'll be pleasure in sin, whatever that sin is. Maybe even a couple of days. But you know what? The outcome is death. How many people get into, let's say, alcohol or drugs or immorality? And they enjoy themselves for a brief moment, often because they lose control, which is really not a great thing at all. But they get into it, and then they start to experience its results. Then they experience things like liver cancer, or cirrhosis of the liver with alcohol, right? A destroyed brain. It literally kills your brain cells. That's why... when a person is intoxicated, they act and think so weird. They can't even control their own movements. Because it's putting holes in your brain cells. And they don't come back. Once they're gone for good. Yes, your brain can rewire itself for a little while, but only for a little while. And then it can't rewire itself anymore. And then you got somebody who is completely bizarre in the way that they can't think, they can't control themselves, they can't anything, but that's the result of it. Or drug abuse. People get into drugs like marijuana, one of the leading causes of psychosis is marijuana use, and they want to make this stuff legal. But it produces psychotic episodes. Meth. Meth is a popular one. You know what meth does? It makes you schizophrenic. One of the leading causes of schizophrenia is meth. And there's a lot of Christian doctors who say schizophrenia is not actually mental illness. It's a type of possession. Well, meth will take you down that road. Enjoy it. Knock yourself out. You think you're going to have a good time? See, Satan says you're going to have fun with sin. God says, no, you're not going to have fun with sin. You're going to have death with sin, but I will give you tremendous joy. And that's a joy that people cannot take away from you. That is a joy that's real. That's a joy that not only has edifying emotions attached, but it also has purpose. It strengthens you. A person who has joy is very difficult to defeat because they're a tremendously strong person. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That person is tremendously powerful. Let God make you laugh because that's strengthening you. That joy is a provision for your psychological well-being. Let God strengthen you. The more difficult your circumstance, the more joy God will give you as a result of that circumstance. The more difficult your circumstance, Romans 5, 3 to 5, the more the love of God is going to be found in that circumstance. Don't ever be afraid of difficult circumstances. Approach them with joy. Paul said, I glory in tribulations, and we think to ourselves, Okay, what does that even mean? Well, he was serious. He gloried in tribulations. He did not lament his tribulations. Why? Because he knew that the worse it got, the more he'd see the love of God. The worse it got, the more it would make him laugh. The worse it got, the more he would get to know God, the faithfulness of God. The bigger the miracle, along with the bigger the circumstance. The bigger the problem, the bigger God comes through. The bigger the difficulty, the bigger the provision. By the way, the bigger the sin, the bigger the grace. And I'm not saying go and sin. I'm saying that God's government fights on your behalf. So never get into this thing where you let your joy be robbed from you. Let God make you laugh in your circumstances. If you think correctly, you'll have tremendous joy. Because God made things to give you joy. Now, how do I get joy? The Word of God says in John 15:5, if I keep myself in the love of God and I keep the Word of God in my frame of reference, I'm going to have much fruit. The second manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that joy. So no matter what your situation, if you want to laugh, stay built up in the Word of God and keep yourself actively in the love of God, and you'll see the joy in your circumstance. Even if the circumstance isn't funny, you'll see the joy in the circumstance. You'll see the joy in the test. You'll see the joy in what God brings because God has tremendous joy to offer, and he wants to make you laugh. He wants you to have that joy. It's one of the most wonderful things that God does for us, is he can give us incredible joy. 90-year-old woman has a kid. Who's ever heard of that? Well, that one did. People say, wow. Yeah. God does something like that for you, and that's going to make you happy. And he does stuff like that for you all the time. Well, you may not be having a kid at 90, but he'll be doing something for you. Because he wants to. He's interested. In Deuteronomy 28:47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of things. So what he's saying, you didn't serve God, but you had this incredible abundance of things. What does that mean? You were unthankful, ungrateful. Watch out for that one. Don't ever be unthankful. Stay thankful to God. You always have reason to be thankful to God. Stay thankful to God. If you lose your thankfulness, you're going to lose your joy. They are connected. Then he continues, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lacking everything. You had everything, you're going to lack everything. Why? Because you didn't serve God with joy, with thankfulness. You didn't serve Him with that laughter. And because you were unthankful, you lost your laughter, you lost your joy, and now everything is going to be difficult for you. Because you have no strength. Well, being unthankful is a serious offense toward God. It's a pretty serious sin. And God takes it seriously. And when you are unthankful, you lose joy. Why? Because you've lost track of reality. You lost track of the heart of God, the thoughts of God. You lost track of God's purpose in things. If you lose thankfulness, it's only out of self-orientation in an emotional expression. Well, I don't like the way it feels. Okay. And that means what exactly? We were given emotions by God, but the emotions have to be used correctly. The emotions cannot be dictated to by my old sin nature. That does happen to people sometimes. The emotions must never be dictated to by the old sin nature, because that's where you will lose your joy. The Word of God is what gives us healthy emotions. Because the Word of God gives our emotions something that is correct to respond to. The emotions can't think, they can only respond. And so if I give my emotions the wrong thing to respond to, they're going to respond to the wrong thing. They are made to respond. That's how they're designed. They'll respond on their own automatically. If you try to think with the emotions, which does happen sometimes, you're not thinking at all. This is a problem that we see now in politics, in society, in culture. What's with this trance thing all of a sudden? Oh, we have to be nice to these little people who are maybe a boy, maybe a girl. They're not entirely sure. And we forget all the half the population that is female, that's women, girls. We forget all of them because of our emotions. We have to protect their emotions. We don't want them to feel bad. I'd rather you feel bad and get right with God as a result of it than feel good about sin. Those people don't end up with healthy emotions. Those people don't end up with anything positive. They're going for love. They're going for something positive. They're going for an identity. They're totally confused. But you know what? Those are normal confusions that happen sometimes, and people grow out of them almost always. But because of emotions, we try to normalize what psychologists tell us is a form of mental illness. And we say, well, that's normal. No, it's not normal. It's resolvable. You can help people in this kind of a problem. But emotions dictating, well, that's a major problem in the world. If my emotions take over, I will lose joy. If I try to protect my emotions, I will lose joy. Because in that case, my emotions will always be oriented to my circumstance, and they will not have the input that they were designed for. Understand this. Your emotions are designed by God just like all the rest of you is. And they're designed to respond to the Word of God. They're not designed to respond to anything else. And when you have godly input, you'll have godly response. You put the right thing to your emotions for them to respond to, and they will have the right responses. But you initiate to them with the wrong thing, or you initiate to them with the wrong thing and you start to think with it, you're going to kill your emotions. Because they're not designed for that. You're using them in a way that they can't be sustained. And it damages them. That's where a lot of people get a lot of problems. One of the places that this all stems from is unthankfulness. You stay thankful to God. Don't ever look at a circumstance and say, oh, look at this, this defines something, this defines who I am, this defines my life. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter. Your circumstances define nothing at all. By the way, your choices don't define anything at all either. That's why that woman caught in adultery, she could be so beautifully treated by Christ, because that did not define her. She made a stupid decision, but it did not define her. She was defined by the love of God. She was defined by the grace of God. She was defined by the character of God, by the mercy of God, by the word of God. That's what defined her. By the way, that's what defines you. Circumstances didn't define her. The accusations they made against her did not define her. That's why Jesus wouldn't even answer them. They were trying to define her life based on her failure, and Jesus said, that's not what defines anything. That's not going to define her. Well, that doesn't define you either. The only thing that can define you is God. His word tells you who you are. Nothing else does. Because he made you. In Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart or frame of reference departs from the Lord. This is how people lose joy. All of a sudden, their frame of reference is not rooted in the word of God. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, so a dried out bush in a dried out place, being blown about by any breeze that comes around, and shall not see the good when it comes. Sometimes people don't. They don't see good. Everything is negative. Something wonderful happens, somehow they find the negative angle in it. Why is that? Well, they're like the shrub in the desert. Where does that come from? They trust in men. Go figure, they trust in men. Yeah. They trust in men. When I start to trust in men, and that can include me. By the way, women, that means women too. When I trust in men, forget it. No human being has the ability to give you joy. By the way, young people, never look to a spouse to make you happy. They cannot produce joy because they're not the source of joy. And if you're saying, you're not making me happy, the problem isn't them, the problem is you. You're looking for joy, for happiness, in the wrong place, and you're not finding it because you're looking in the wrong place. If I leave my keys on the counter and I look for the keys in the drawer, guess what? I'm not gonna find them. It's that simple. Look for the right things in the right place, or you're not gonna find them. And he's saying right here, if you're trying to find trust, if you're trying to find reliability, if you're trying to find joy, if you're trying to find anything at all to sustain you from people, forget it. You're living in a curse. Because they can't do it. They're not able. You're looking in the wrong place. Then it continues in verse 7, blessed, and the Amplified has a great translation for blessed. It says, happy and to be envied. Happy and to be envied is the man who trusts in the Lord. Well, that's a great source of joy. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Do you know what a tree planted by the waters is? It's always got a source for everything, which spreads out its root by the river and will not fear heat when it comes. Why? Because it's planted by the waters. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit. Now, a tree planted by the waters. Water in the Bible is a type for the Word of God. Trees are a type for people. So what you're saying is, somebody who's deeply rooted in the Word of God is not even going to see the heat when it comes. Things will go bad, and they'll not be anxious about it. Things will go bad, they're not going to stop being fruitful. They're not going to lose their joy. They're not going to stop laughing. They're not going to worry. They're not going to get anxious. They're not going to get fearful. Why? Because they're rooted in the Word of God. And that produces great joy. One of the reasons why we need to have the Word of God constantly every single day as an input into our lives, minimum an hour a day, so that we'll be happy. Simple as that, but incredibly important. John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may be full." He gave you the word so that you can have fullness of joy, so that you can have laughter, so that you can be happy, so that you can enjoy your life. Find somebody who's not enjoying their life, and you will find somebody who is not finding their source in the Word of God. More than likely, they're trying to find their source in people, and if not people, then maybe circumstances. But it's not in the Word of God, and they're not going to enjoy their life, because the only way to enjoy your life is through the Word of God. People will say, well, what's to enjoy about this wicked world? Well, nobody's said to enjoy the world. He said, enjoy the Word of God in this world. John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so your joy may be full. Prayer is a source of joy. Just like with Sarah, when she received the answer to the promise, it made her laugh. It was amazing. She was so happy to get that. Well, you know what? That's what prayer is designed to do. One of its purposes is for you to be happy. But how often do people not pray? They worry, but they don't pray. They have a need, but they don't pray. They rack their brain about how to figure out what to do next or how to handle the situation, but they don't pray. Some people pray. Some people are wonderful in prayer, but there's people who don't pray. You know, you rob yourself of joy when you don't have a prayer life. And it doesn't have to be formal. It's not a religious thing. You're talking to your friend who is there with you. That's what prayer is. You're talking to your friend who is there with you. And by the way, who can supply every need you have. And wants to. In 1 John 1:4, the apostle said, these things I write to you that your joy may be full. The Bible is given for joy, so that you can have great joy. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? You have a reason to. God is not saying to you, be happy for the sake of happiness, have joy for the sake of joy. No, God is saying, have joy because there's lots of reason to have joy. And when you enter into the source of joy, you will find all of the reasons to have joy. And you'll have it. In Nehemiah 8:9, after Israel returned from captivity, there was a feast. And Nehemiah, who is the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, And the Levites who taught the people, they taught the word of God when the people returned from captivity. And then it continues, all the people wept when they heard the words of the law, when they heard the word of God. They wept. Because they were in captivity for so long, they haven't heard it. And prior to that, Israel and Judah were so severely backslidden, it wasn't really that readily available. The prophets were still there, but nobody was listening. And they heard it, they came out of captivity, and they wept because they heard it. I remember one time I was sowing in Central Europe in a place that had been communist. And we were street preaching. And these two old women, in tears. And after we got done, we came up and we asked them why they were crying. And they said, it's been 40 years since we heard the word of God preached in public. That's the thing they're experiencing here. And then in verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. People go into places in their mind that are not happy places. Don't go there. Here they wept because they were happy on the one hand, but sad on the other. They were happy to hear the word of God. It's sad about what decisions their country had made, that the word of God was not present, and that they had to go into captivity, and they were relieved to be out of captivity. Never go to the negative things, even if you're the cause of them. Never go to the negative things. There's never a time with God for negativity. Okay, somebody sins, and what happens? The blood of Christ removes their sin. Never go to negativity. Somebody feels guilty, but God says there's no condemnation. Never go to negativity. Always have the joy of the Lord in your forefront of your thinking. Because that's where you find strength for all your situations. A person who lacks joy is also a person who's often going to fail because they don't have the strength not to. They're going to find life very difficult because they don't have the strength to find it easy. That joy is such a provision for you. It's more than just an emotion, infinitely more than just an emotion. But it is an emotion also. God wants to make you laugh. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to have this great joy. Now, I'm not saying, like the name it, claim it crowd, God wants you to have only happiness and never a test, never a trial. It's not at all correct. That's not how things work with God. God wants you to have joy in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your testings, in the midst of circumstances, whether positive or negative. God never wants to separate you from joy because He never wants to separate you from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's your provision for getting through anything. So let Him make you laugh. Find that joy. You find it in the love of God and the Word of God, John 15:5. That's where you find your joy. People who neglect the Word of God often lose joy. Find that joy, because God desires to give it to you. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.